From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Good afternoon, ladies and gents. It's about that time once again. 1 p.m. has hit your clock, and Current Sports is in your ear. Yes, I'm your host, Al Martin, wishing you all a fantastic hump day. We have a jam-packed show for you all. In just a second, I'll be chatting with Mateen Cleaves. Yes, Mateen has his One Goal, One Passion program going on as we speak, and he tries to impact the lives of less fortunate families this holiday season. Such a great cause there. He will be on with me to chat about that in just a second. Don't go anywhere, and I will also be talking with MSU hockey player Jake Chelios. Yes, we'll talk about MSU's hockey season thus far and also about his dad, Chris Chelios, who was just inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame. You don't want to miss either of those interviews. And if you have any questions for Mateen or Jake, don't be hesitant to call in during my chat with him, all right? Give us a call at 517-355-9527. Again, you know the number, 517-355-9527, and ask them about whatever is on your noggin. I also want to remind you that Current Sports TV tapes tonight, folks. Yes, you can be in the TV studio audience tonight when my guest on Current Sports is former NFL and MSU running back Todd T.J. Duckett. Yes, Duckett played at MSU from 1999 to 2001 and played in the NFL for Seattle, Detroit, Washington, and Atlanta. Today, Todd Duckett, he heads up the New World Flood, which is a service organization that works to help youth become change agents in their communities. Now, recording takes place at 6:30 p.m. Tonight at WKAR Studios on the MSU campus. Seats are totally free. It's free, folks. But reservations are strongly recommended because seating is limited. So sign up. Just go to WKAR.org. That's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, and guest TJ Duckett. Reserve your free seats right now. You aren't doing anything. Well, besides listening to me, go to WKAR.org and sign up, folks. All right. Well, here are your Current Sports headliners on this November 20th, 2013. All right, the Hazlitt girls volleyball team, they couldn't quite handle the strong serves of East Grand Rapids and were swept in their Class A quarterfinal match. Now, the Vikings couldn't get their offense going, with East Grand Rapids' serve setting the tone. Afterwards, Christine Grudenwald, she said afterwards, from East Grand Rapids' coach, "We rely on our serve to try and take big teams out of their offense. If we can keep our serve tough, we will do well because we have such a tough defense." Now, despite getting blown out in the second set, the Vikings did not quit and battled deep into the third before bowing out. This is from Hazlitt coach Wendy McCann. She said, quote, "We came back and served tough to keep them off their game. When we serve tough, we can keep people off their offense and run our own." The Vikings, who fell in the quarterfinals last season as well, finished this year with a very, very impressive record, folks, of 54-1. Unbelievable record for them. We wish Hazlitt all the best next season, but quite a magical season. It's really sad that it was cut short, but Wendy McCann did one unbelievable job with those young women this season. Hats off to Hazlitt, even though they bow out to East Grand Rapids just a bit earlier than they would like to. Incredible stuff there. All right, the puck drops here. That's a New Year's Eve block party that has been announced in Ann Arbor in celebration of the NHL Winter Classic, which takes place in Michigan Stadium on January 1st. Now, portions of Main Street, Liberty Street, and Washington Street will close starting at 8 a.m. on December 31st, lasting through 6 a.m. on January 1st. Now, the Winter Classic, which was scheduled for last season but delayed a year due to the NHL lockout, will pit the Red Wings against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Now, the block party will feature live music and a midnight puck drop. In addition, an alumni game of former Leafs and Wings will be played at Comerica Park on December 31st. Cool stuff there. So again, that will be on January 1st in Ann Arbor at Michigan Stadium. That should be exciting stuff there. All right, Pistons and Knicks. Man, I should be I'm taking some heat today because I'm a notorious Rodney Stuckey hater, if you will. I think Rodney Stuckey should not be wearing the red, white, and blue, but he went off last night. Let's just put it plain and honest. Rodney Stuckey had a great game last night. Now, after surrendering 109 points in four of their last five games, the Detroit Pistons, they tightened up defensively and beat the Knicks 92-86 last night, and Stuckey scored 15 of his 21 points in the second half. And the Pistons held the Knicks to just 43% shooting. Afterwards, Josh Smith, forward, said, "We're long, we're athletic. There shouldn't be a reason why we can't do that each and every night. Hopefully we're turning the corner and we're establishing ourselves on the defensive end." The Pistons' interior trio of Smith, Andre Drummond, and Greg Monroe, they handled the Knicks' front court with double-doubles from both Drummond and Monroe and 19 buckets from Josh Smith. Now, the Knicks have lost three in a row and fell to 3-7 after the loss. The Pistons and the Knicks both had the same record coming to that matchup last night. And I tell you, Rodney Stuckey really surprised me. But hey, he's playing the New York Knickerbockers here. The Knicks don't play any defense. They're among the worst teams in the East as of right now. so don't put too much weight in. I'm still sticking that Stuckey needs to go. All right, Stuckey, nice job last night, though. All right, Wings and Predators. The Detroit Red Wings losing streak has now extended, get this, to 7 games. Yes, a 7-game losing streak for the Red Wings. That's surprising stuff in itself, folks. I mean, it's not too often you have a night where the Pistons win and the Wings lose. And that's exactly what happened last night. A 2-0 loss to the Nashville Predators. The Predators took the lead in the second period on a Shea Weber power play goal, then added the insurance in the third when Gabriel Bourquet, he beat goalie Jimmy Howard. The Red Wings' 7-game overall losing streak is topped by their 8-game home slide, the longest since 1991. Howard said afterwards, "It's a frustrating time for us right now. It just doesn't seem like anything's going our way out there." So Predators goalie Marek Mazanek, he had 27 shaves for Nashville in his first career shutout. Now, the small silver lining for the Wings is that the last time the club went winless in 7 straight was in 2001-2002 when they eventually became the Stanley Cup champions, okay? So hold your horses, folks. Still, it's hard to see the streak as a good omen. You know, 7 straight. Anytime you lose 7 straight, that's just, Now, their next chance to snap it is Thursday night when they host the Carolina Hurricanes. All right, Omar Vizquel, he will join the Detroit Tigers as first base coach next season. Vizquel, he played 24 seasons in the majors, spending this year as a minor league infield instructor for the Angels. He had a career 272 batting percentage and won 9 consecutive Golden Gloves from 93 to 2001. He also won Gold Gloves in 2005-2006. So there you go. Tigers have hired Omar Vizquel. Again, he will be the first base coach next season for the Tigers. All right, Richie Incognito. Yes, more stuff coming from that story. I see it seems like a daily spiral, folks. The NFL Players Association is asking Spirit Airlines to apologize for a recent ad that poked fun at the Miami Dolphins' alleged bullying scandal. Now, the ad features a man in a Dolphins helmet who told writers to, quote, "not get bullied by any fares and fly incognito out of Florida or any place for that matter." But the odd part of the ad is that the NFLPA's denouncement of Spirit Airlines came around the same time when the news broke that Richie Incognito filed a grievance against the Miami Dolphins. And another aspect to this story is that it was also found, it's an allegation out there that Richie Incognito would make remarks that kind of went beyond racist remarks when it came to a staff member that worked with the Dolphins organization. That is also a new report coming out. So it just gets stickier and stickier when you talk about this Richie Incognito story. So you can read more about that if you just Google it. It pops up everywhere. All right, moving on. Barcelona forward Lionel Messi. He was presented with a record 3rd Golden Boot on Wednesday for scoring the most goals in Europe's domestic leagues last season. Now, the 26-year-old Messi helped Barcelona win the 2012-2013 Spanish League by scoring an unconscious 46 goals. Messi is so good. Now, as the first player to receive the award three times, Messi dedicated his last trophy to his family and his teammates, calling it a team award. Messi said, quote, "This is a beautiful award that goes to the entire squad for what it has done. It is a group award more than an individual award because those are a lot of goals. I wouldn't have won it without them, this one or the previous ones." Again, Lionel Messi presented with a record third Golden Boot on Wednesday for scoring the most goals in Europe's domestic leagues last season. 46 goals for Lionel Messi. That is sick with it, man. So congrats to Lionel Messi. He is one of the greatest of all time. I think it's fair to say that even right now. All right. Accuser changes mind about Winston. All right, police stopped investigating an alleged sexual battery involving Florida State quarterback Jameis Winston when the accuser, quote, changed her mind about pursuing the case. Now, an attorney for Winston denied the allegations against his client after they emerged last week. The email was sent to Tallahassee officials in response to media requests to access the police report. Now, when contacted by the police department after the media request about the case, the accuser's attorney reportedly asked no information regarding her client to be released to the media. So it looks like Jameis Winston is going to get off the hook on this one. And, you know, we talked about this last week on Current Sports when this story broke and the description didn't even fit Jameis Winston's profile. So there you have that. It looks as though Jameis Winston is clear on this one, folks, and the accuser has decided to change her mind about pursuing the case. And this is a very interesting story here, folks. Manny Pacquiao and Rios, there was a brawl that ensued, all right? Tensions between the camps of Manny Pacquiao and Brandon Rios erupted into a physical altercation on Wednesday morning at the Venetian Macao site of Saturday night's clash between Pacquiao and Rios. Now, the problems began when Manny Pacquiao's trainer, Freddie Roach, of course, Freddie Roach, a famed trainer in the sport of boxing, he approached Rios' trainer, Robert Garcia, in a gym area beneath the Venetian Theater that the two camps are sharing. Yes, sharing during fight week. Now, Rios is scheduled to work out in the area between 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. each day. Now, Pacquiao's workout slated for 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. each day. Now, I guess there was some mix-up here because things hit the fan very quickly. Video of the incident shows Freddie Roach asking Robert Garcia to leave and apparently calling him a piece of, well, you can fill in the blanks there. Garcia countered once Freddie Roach said that, saying, "Don't call me a piece of fill in the blank." And Alex Ariza, which is Rios' strength and conditioning coach, who previously worked for Roach and Pacquiao, he shouted at Roach to leave the gym. Roach shouted back at Ariza, saying to, quote, "make me." Now, after some verbal back and forth, Roach stepped forward. Now, this is all on video, folks. If you want to take a look at this video, it went viral online. Roach stepped forward once that was once that was said, and Ariza kicks Roach in the stomach. Yes, in the stomach. I'm not kidding you, folks. Kicked him in the stomach like Bruce Lee, like from a Kung Fu movie. And when one of Rios' team began shouting at Roach, Pacquiao's trainer called him a Mexican blankety blank. Can you believe this? It was chaos, folks. When I mean it was complete chaos. It prompted a near brawl that required the intervention of security. Now, according to Garcia, the conflict arose as a result of Rios staying late to appear on ESPN SportsCenter during Pacquiao's scheduled gym time. So how about, so ESPN, so I guess we just blame ESPN SportsCenter for this whole brawl, huh? There you have that crazy story right there. Again, if you want to check out the video, just Google it. It is everywhere, folks. And you can see, you know, the Bruce Lee kick right to Roach's stomach. It's crazy stuff. But those are your current sports headliners on this November 20th, 2013. If you want to comment on any of those, folks, you know that you can call in at 517 517- 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. And I tell you what, today we have a jam-packed show in store for y'all. Before I tell you who we got, I want to remind you all to be a part of the Current Sports TV's taping tonight as I sit down with Todd T.J. Duckett. Yes, that is tonight, folks. Recording takes place 6:30 p.m. at WKAR-TV Studios on the MSU campus. Seats are totally free. Yes, free, folks. But reservations are strongly recommended due to the fact that seating is limited. That's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, and guest T.J. Duckett. To reserve those free seats, just simple. Just go to WKAR.org and you will see the directions on how to sign up for tonight's taping right there on our website. Well, let's dive into today's show. Again, later on we'll have Jake Chelios, MSU hockey player. He will be joining me in just a sec. Of course, his father, the great Red Wing himself, Chris Chelios, was just inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame. We will chat with Jake in just a sec. But before we do, we have another special guest joining us today. We invite a guest on today's show who is a famed Michigan State basketball player, now television analyst for the Detroit Pistons. He's a music manager. I mean, is there anything that this man does not do? Martin Cleaves, how you doing? Welcome back to the show, man.
What's going on, baby? What's happening, man? Talk to me.
Man, another day, another dollar, brother. Another day, another dollar.
I hear you. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
I got to tell you, Mateen, first of all, tell me about One Goal, One Passion. It seems like such an unbelievable fundraising opportunity that where you are really helping families out who need the help. How did it get started, and what is it all about? Tell the folks.
You know what, Al, this is something I'm very excited about. We started in the summertime giving free basketball camps for kids in Flint, Lansing, and Benton Harbor. And One Goal, One Passion is all about helping people, doing whatever we can do to help. And we kind of went outside the box with the basketball camps because it was like not your traditional just come in and learn basketball. We taught the kids about eco-friendliness, goal setting, life skills. We said to kids about health. We talked to them about health and eating. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to do something big and better during these holidays. And everybody kind of threw ideas around, and we just came up with let's provide for 1,000 families. And that's our goal, was to provide for 1,000 families over the holidays, and not only provide meaning find sources of income that can help them generate money for food and pay bills like mm-hmm. electricity and water bills, vouchers for that, ways that they can further their education, find job placements, and ways to, help people, far as learn how to budget and everything. So we're kind of out the box with it because, you usually do things around the holiday season like, give out turkeys and things like that. But we wanted to take it to another level. And that's what it's all about, One Goal, One Passion. We're in it to help people, man, and I'm super excited about it.
It sounds like an unbelievable event, Martin. Now, I got to ask you, how does the process work? Do families have to sign up to be one of those lucky families to get help? I mean, how do you go about choosing the families? I mean, how does the whole thing work, Martin?
Well, actually, right now, the families are being referred to us.
Gotcha.
Like Habitat for Humanity, United Way, and the Boys and Girls Club. So the families are definitely being referred to us.
Right, gotcha. Now, Martin, where did your love for philanthropic endeavors like this one start? Because I know in the past you've done, Martin Cleaves' Community Outreach Foundation, the Boys and Girls Club, Books and Basketball Program. I mean, I could go on and on. Where does your love for doing things like this to help the community, when did that start?
Well, you know what, Al, I have to say, with my mother and my father as well, but they always help people in my community. And my mother did it on a scale such as, going to parent-teacher conferences for kids and for the parents that really wasn't fit to go in my neighborhood. Always having her door open, always doing anything she could do to help people. And I remember I got drafted, and she said, well, we got to do something for our community. And it was all about having a free basketball camp. That was the first thing my mom started with me, giving a free basketball camp. So I have to say it started with my parents. I watched them do it as I was growing up, and something that I just wanted to carry on, when I was able to be in a position to help people.
That is great stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, we are talking with Martin Cleaves about his One Goal, One Passion initiative. Now, Martin, for any of those listening that want to donate to this endeavor that you have going on, how can they get involved and do so?
Well, we're going to make it easy for you, Al. All you have to do is go to OneGoalOnePassion.com, and you can donate there. And I'm having a big fundraiser, a tailgate, at Michigan State in a Minnesota game November 30th, and people, you can buy tickets for that to get in the tailgate, and when Michigan State will provide tickets for you to get in the game. So we're super excited about it, but at the worst, come to worst, if you can't come to events, you can go to One Goal, One Passion, and donate for a great cause. Man, holidays are supposed to be fun times, and my goal is to know that 1,000 families will wake up happy during these holiday seasons.
That is so true, Martin. Now, I know you guys had the celebrity bowling tournament this past Saturday to raise money for One Goal, One Passion. How'd the fundraising go and who won? I got to ask that.
Well, you know, the fundraising, it went pretty good. And, you know, we still got to continue to work harder and harder to raise funds to be able to reach our goal. But my sister, her team actually won. I had to make sure she didn't cheat, you know, because I know how she is. Cause she's very
she's a cheater. She likes, she plays defense a little bit, huh?
Somebody called it a cheater, but I call it a winner, you know. And, but her team won. But it was a great turnout, man. We had a lot of celebrities come out, man. We had T.J. Duckett come down. Andre Hudson came in town. All the members of the Flintstones were there. We had some, you know, Cato June, Michigan. He played at Michigan. He came in. Andre Weathers. These guys were national champions on the football team at Michigan. And we just had a lot of great people, local celebrities come support it, man. It was fantastic, man. I actually had fun while I was there. But, you know, for the cause, it was great, man, because we're just continuing to generate money for this. And we're not done yet. We still got to continue. We got a lot of ways to go to continue to generate money to help these families.
Oh, that is great stuff. And, Martin, you just took the words out of my mouth. I mean, that was kind of a good segue because we actually have T.J. Duckett as our Current Sports TV tonight, guest tonight, and also Andre will be on the show tomorrow. So that's great stuff, man. Now, Martin, before I let you go, I want to ask about the get your thoughts on the MSU basketball team so far being ranked number one in the nation for the first time in since 2001. Martin, when you look at this team right now, is it a good thing that this team is ranked so high so early? Do they like having that target on their back, and is it a good thing?
Well, you know what, Al? It's a great thing. I mean, we're not shying away from that. You know, we feel that we're the best team in the country. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, and that's not being cocky. That's just being confident. And these guys have worked their tail off. They're a veteran group. They got a lot of guys back from last year. They got a lot of experience. And I think, you know, one thing about Michigan State, we expect greatness. We expect to be ranked number one in the country. We expect to win championships. So that's nothing that we're not used to. And so I'm super excited about it. And I really think these guys have a chance to win it all. Great pieces, you know, led by a senior point guard and Keith Appleton. When you have a senior point guard running the show, you always have a chance. And you got Gary Harris and Payne and Dawson and Trison, Valentine and Costello. Yeah. I go on and on about the pieces they have. And then not to mention one of the greatest ever, and Coach is on that sideline. So, I mean, all the ducks are lining up. All the pieces are in the right way. So I think this can be a special year for Michigan State.
Yes, they are certainly talented. I got to ask you, Martin, when you look at this team and you just ran down, I mean, all the pieces and all the talent that this team encompasses right now, if you compare it to your team, when you guys won a national championship back in 2000, how does it stack up against you guys? Who will win? That's a good – I got to ask you that.
Funny. Now, Al, you know I'm not going to sit on here and say them guys can beat us. Not, these like my little brothers. You know, you the big brother never wants to admit the little brother can beat them up.
Right.
That's kind of this situation. But they do have a really good unit, man. They got a really good team, man. I like all the pieces that they have. And like I said, I really think this can be a special year for them. So let's just hope, you know, they got, you know, to keep grinding and keep improving. But let's just hope we could be seeing one shiny moment come late March.
Exactly. Hey, well, only time will tell, man. And you know, Martin, you know, the game against Portland, you know, I was at the game covering that game, and something that really disappointed Izzo was when he looked up in the stands and saw a lot of empty seats. And he was pretty disappointed with that, you know, fans not coming out and supporting on that. Granted, it was a Monday night game, but still, he was not very happy about it, Mateen. What were your thoughts on that? And do you think it's a big deal right now that that fans didn't show up to that game at Portland?
Honest, Al, I was disappointed as well because, you know, one thing about it, we build this program on fan support. Yes, we've had great recruits and great players and great coaches, but having fan support has been a big part of Michigan State's success. And if we want to continue to have that, we need fan support. If you want to go out and get these top recruits, you want them to know that they're going to play in front of a packed house, night in and night out. So, fans, we need you there. You know, we don't take you for granted. Trust me, the players don't. So I was a little disappointed in that, and I know that's something that won't be normal. That's something out of the norm. The seats will get back packed, but, you know, we need fans in those seats because as players, we depend on that sixth man.
There you go. You heard it from Mateen himself, folks. Go out to the games. Go out to the games, folks. Before I let you go, Mateen, I want to talk about the Pistons really quick. They get a big win over the New York Knicks last night. The Knicks are really a battered team right now. Rodney Stuckey goes completely off. How is the team looking right now? Because I know, me being a Pistons fan, I'm a little nervous about the Pistons defense right now, my team.
Yeah, the defense can get better, and I think it will. See, what people got to understand, Al, is that it's a different coach. You got 8 new guys. It's a different system, and you got different players you're trying to fit in places. And just like offense, you know, it's camaraderie and the timing and everything. It's the same with defense. I think the defense will get better, you know, especially having a rim protector back there like Andre Drummond. Josh Smith is a good shot blocker in his own. Guard play, you know, I think, you know, Stuckey's a really good defender. So I just think it's timing. I'm happy with the effort that they've given. So I think they will get better. And the pieces that they have now, you know, bringing in Brandon Jennings, a guy that can step outside the offense and create if need be. Greg Monroe is more comfortable with his back to the basket. Chauncey haven't played much, but just having that veteran leadership a part of this group, I think that's something they will figure out as they go on. And I really think, Al, that this team can make it to the playoffs.
I think so, too. You know, before the season started, Mateen, I predicted, you know, maybe a 5 or 6 seed this season. So we'll see, man. And last but not least, I got to throw this plug in there because you know what, Mateen? I was sitting back. Well, I'm a big hip-hop guy. I was sitting back watching the BET Hip-Hop Awards, and I'm sitting back, you know, looking at the ciphers, and all of a sudden, I see your man, John Connor, just rock the mic and tear it up. How is that going right now? I'm becoming a fan of him slowly but surely.
Oh, man, it's going great, Al. And I told people when I first started, they thought I was crazy for getting to the music now, Al. Nobody knew why. And I told them he is special. He has that it factor. He's a great kid, but he works. You know, he reminds me of us when I played basketball and how hard we worked and the vision that we had to be successful. So not trying to sound cocky or nothing, but I told everybody that he's going to be a megastar. So he's definitely – he signed with Dr. Dre. With Aftermath, so that's great.
Wow, did he? He signed with Dre. I had no idea.
Yeah, Al, he signed with Aftermath, man. So right now he's just in the studio, you know, and still coming up, creating some of that good music and just ready to give that music to the world, man. But we're excited about being on Aftermath and working with Dr. Dre.
And you know what, my team, when I was doing some research and just doing some research on John, interesting story. I correct me if I'm wrong. I want you to tell the story. I believe when you were sitting back and you popped in John's CD and Nas was there. You're just kicking it with Nas. And he heard the CD and he's like, well, who's this kid? And he actually called up John. Is that story accurate?
Yeah, it is. You know, Nas is one of my good friends. And I never want to push music on these guys because they get that everywhere we go. It's kind of like a basketball player, when you go out, somebody want to talk basketball.
Right.
So I did not want to force that music on him. I just kind of slid it in, and he started bobbing his head. He was like, yo, who was that? I'm like, you know, that's my guy, John Connor. And he was like, call him on the phone. And then he talked to him, you know, and he was telling how he really enjoyed his music, and he thought he had something there. And John kind of took that. That helped John. That was just like a guy like, you know, LeBron James or Magic Johnson or somebody like that calling a guy in basketball and saying, you know, I kind of like you. I think you can play. So that definitely was a confidence booster for John. And, man, All the pieces have been falling in line for us, and we're not done yet. You know, we're getting through the door. Now it's really trying to let the world know, you know, what we're going to bring, you know, these next few years in this music industry.
Unbelievable. Martin, I tell you, you are one busy man. You know that? Music manager, TV analyst, what don't you do, brother?
Hey, Al, it's about winning, baby. It's all about winning. I'm infatuated with winning, baby. I'm driven by success.
That is right. One more time, before I let you go, how can people get involved with One Goal, One Passion, Martin?
Go to www.onegoalonepassion.com. And they can donate. Come on, people. We need your help. It's for a great cause.
There you have it. My team, Cleves, always a pleasure. We got to have you on soon. All right, brother?
All right. Thanks a lot. I love the show, baby.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Well, when we return to Current Sports, we will chat with Jake Chelios. Yes, Jake will be joining me to chat about the MSU hockey season thus far and also talk about his dad, Chris Chelios, who was just inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame. You don't want to miss this. Current Sports is coming right back at you.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. Next time on Here and Now, CrossFit. It's one of the hottest trends in fitness right now.
We jump, run, throw, row, lift, slam, carry, crawl over, jump over. Anything that can increase your metabolic rate, basically, we involve ourselves in.
But some fitness experts think it's a recipe for injury. We'll talk CrossFit next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
That's Here and Now coming up at 2 p.m.
7 days a week, Current State brings you the issues, personalities, and events making the heart of Mid-Michigan beat.
To be able to start a farmer's market takes time and energy, people power, and planning.
We change the notes, or we change the phrasing, or we change something for what might happen, and you can't really predict, and that's the beauty of jazz.
We are reinventing city government as we go along. It's like redesigning the airplane while in flight.
Current State, weekdays at 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. on 90.5 WKAR.
Welcome back to Current Sports. As always, I'm your host, Al Martin. Just finished chatting with Martin Cleves. Yes, Martin is such a busy man, and right now he has his One Goal, One Passion philanthropic endeavor that he's going on, where they actually are trying to help 1,000 families. That's right, as far as food, money, just really trying to help them, trying to raise $1,000 per family to help those families. And you can get involved with that initiative. Just go to OneGoalOnePassion.com, and all of the information is right there. They just finished hosting a One Goal, One Passion celebrity bowling tournament and raffle. That was on Saturday, November 16th, this past weekend. And right now they have coming up the One Goal, One Passion tailgate at MSU, which is, of course, on Saturday, November 30th, as Michigan State gets ready. They end their season, the last home game of the season against Minnesota. So, again, just go to OneGoalOnePassion.com to find out all the information on that. All right, well, let's get to our second guest for today's show. Today I have the privilege of welcoming a young man who is a player for the Michigan State University hockey team. The team currently sits at 3-5, trying to snap a 2-game losing streak. He is also the son to recent Hockey Hall of Fame inductee, Red Ring Royalty, folks. All right, Chris Chelios. It's my pleasure to welcome Jake Chelios to Current Sports. How you doing, Jake?
Good, how are you?
You good, man?
Yeah, I'm doing all right.
Good stuff. All right, first of all, Jake, I want to talk about the season thus far. You guys are 3-5. What sort of hurdles have you guys been battling this season that you got to get better at?
You know what? To be honest, we knew going into the season, like always, it's a tough schedule. So started off season not the way we wanted, and we went to Massachusetts, came back the next weekend, and bounced back against Boston University. I mean, whenever you can get a win as a Boston team, it looks good. So that gave us the confidence we needed, and we played American International the next weekend, had a couple good wins there, which was huge for us because we didn't get a sweep last year. Mm-hmm. So when you get a sweep with a young team like this, especially that huge freshman class that came in, who never had an opportunity to get a sweep in your first year, which is That's tough. You don't see that very often. So, guys, we're excited. Unfortunately, the last weekend at Tech dropped a couple of games, especially that second one in overtime. But right now it's just looking up, getting that confidence, taking it game by game.
That's all you can do. Now, you guys, like you just mentioned, Jake, you guys are relatively young when you look at the roster. Jake, you being a senior, I mean, can it be a challenge, you know, being a senior and leader on here and mentor on this team to try to, you know, to mentor so many young players? Is that a challenge for you?
To be honest, last year was a nightmare.
It was.
In the beginning, it was a nightmare, but it was tough. It was going into it. We lost Torrey Krug, our captain. I mean, we had 12 freshmen coming in. I was the only defenseman that played a full year. We had Matt Grossi, the senior, had a concussion out. So he didn't play the year before. So I really felt like I was I've never been put in a leader role before too much.
Do you think he was kind of rushed and kind of just thrown into fire?
Yeah, I got almost. And I think the coaches realized that too, and they helped me do it. But freshman and sophomore year, I was kind of the baby of the team. I was the youngest in my class, except for Yannickef, who was the goalie. So, it was tough. But you know what? That freshman class that came in, they were awesome. You got guys like Walsh and Dreger, who really mature kids. I'd say more mature than me in most parts of the game. But they made it easy. And as far as forwards, I still had Greg Wolf helping out in the front end, my brother,
right,
who was actually out last year. But now we got him back, fortunately. Lee Reimer helped me out. So it wasn't a one-man thing. We still had a senior class that could lead those younger guys. And as far as this year, that class from last year really stepped up. You can tell it's a whole different class now, just the way they got that first year under their belt. Guys got like Ferentino, DeBlau coming back. So,
yeah,
you know what, this year's not as bad as last year, I'd say that.
What'd you learn about yourself as a leader that you wish you would have known back then, that you now know and have really contributed to you becoming a better leader?
Yeah, you know what, I said nightmare, but I don't know if that's the right word. I actually really enjoyed it.
It was a good nightmare, right?
Right, it was okay. A good nightmare. It was fun, I could say that. I don't know, usually I was that kid that I was always looking up to the older guys, kind of like the little brother to everybody on the team. So when I got to be in that position, I almost didn't know what to do. I was like, geez, these kids are actually looking up to me.
Kind of weird, huh?
Yeah, it was weird. So I don't know. They actually look up to me. They listen to me, which usually I didn't see the freshman year. They just kind of brushed me off. But
right. No,
it was a great experience, and I still love doing it. Every day I love going to the rink, seeing the younger guys clowning around all the time, things we also used to do. So it's still a really fun experience.
Now, you know, something Tom Onassis said this week was, you know, energy-wise. He's really harping on energy for you guys, the way you guys approach games, how you guys come out in games. He wants to see that from the very start. Why do you think, you know, it takes a minute for you guys to kind of get going energy-wise for this team?
Yeah, you know, I think one of the problems that this team has right now is sometimes we get a little too laid back. I mean, it's always good to stay loose before games, but sometimes we get too complacent, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's just something we have to be ready for every game, and that's huge in hockey. Get that first goal or first big period out of the way, especially on the road when you gotta kind of settle the legs down, get the bus legs out. So I would say that's one of our problems right now. And if we can come out, I mean, if you're coming out hitting, I think UMass did a great job of that first period. They came out flying and kind of just shut us down. And if you could do that to teams, you're gonna win a lot of games.
Now, I got to ask you, Jake, you know, this being such a young team, you guys sit at 3-5 right now. I want to talk about the expectations coming into this season. Of course, last season, you guys really just trying to build that chemistry. You got a lot of young players, which, you know, is still the case this season.
Right.
Realistically, what were the expectations coming into this season, and are they being fulfilled right now?
I mean, it's still early in the season. There's so much hockey to be played.
Right.
So, I mean, we have the same goals every year. Obviously, we want to beat Michigan. That's always a big one.
That's always a goal, right? That's for any Spartan athlete, right?
Exactly. So that's always up there. But obviously, the Big Ten's new, and we want to make a big impression on that right away. I don't think anybody's looking less than a championship for them. And I mean, and obviously in hockey or any sport, you get hot at the right time, you could win. So, I mean, the first step is obviously the next game. But as you look further into the future, there's the Big Ten championship and making that tournament and hopefully getting a couple good bounces and get to the Final Four.
Ladies and gents, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, I'm talking with Jake Chelios, MSU hockey player for the MSU hockey team. Jake, you just alluded to the newly established Big Ten Conference. I mean, that's got to be exciting. Talk about, you know, just the thoughts on the new conference and, you know, does it kind of add a little bit of, motivation for you guys this season?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, when you watch the football team, you get to see them play all these big-name schools, so for us to be able to play teams like Wisconsin, Minnesota, Penn State on a regular basis, it's awesome. Especially for the fans, I think. I think when the fans see even good teams like Ferris State or Lake State, they're not as interested just because the name's not there. So now they'll have a chance that the whole second half of the year be playing bigger names. So I think it would be good for the arena. But as from a team standpoint, everybody's really excited. I mean, there's six teams in it. It's going to get competitive. We already hate each other, a lot of the teams, so it's perfect.
Right. There you go. There you go. That hate fuels, you know, it breeds success. There you go. Now, let's shift gears for a second because your dad, Chris Chelios, was just inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame. Such an honor. He was a great player when he played. I mean, how did your dad get the call that he was going to be inducted, and what was his reaction?
I think when he got the call, it was over the summer. I actually wasn't with him. I was at a camp in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And he was in the car driving by himself, and he got the call, and I don't think he knew what to do, really. He's a really humble, quiet guy. He doesn't really show a lot of emotion. So when he got it, I think he just sat in the car for a while and took it in. But once he did, he started calling all his friends, make sure everybody would be in Toronto for it, and started making flight arrangements right away. So
right. He
really called in everybody. But he was excited, obviously. After you retire, it's kind of the waiting game, see if you'll get in or if you won't. But I think he had a good feeling it was. But once you get that call, obviously it's a very calming, exciting feeling.
Jake, knowing that your father, and of course now you're in college now, mature young man, you've had some time to soak this in. I mean, your father is one of, you know, he's a Hall of Fame hockey player. You know, one of the greatest to ever grace the ice. When you take that in and think about that, I mean, what goes through your head being his son?
I mean, yeah, his whole career, towards the end when I was starting to grow up, you always hear future Hall of Famer, future Hall of Famer, and I think it really hit me at the event last Tuesday.
That's when it really hit you. It didn't hit you until that moment.
I mean, I knew it was obviously, you hear Hall of Fame all the time, you think that's the best you can do. But when you get there and you see guys in the stands, like, or in the crowd at the event, like Wayne Gretzky and Brian Leetch and all those great players, that's really when it hit me, is when you see just all the names you grow up to and what they've accomplished. And they show the video of my dad's whole career. And it was just a really special event. So, I mean, I always knew it was great, like, tremendous thing, but I think being that thing in Toronto was the coolest thing I've ever been a part of.
I gotta ask you, you know, Jake, being his son, is it difficult living in Chris Chelios' shadow?
You know, I think I'd given up on the shadow thing. I mean, I think I would have been out of hockey about 10 years ago if I was gonna try to get up to those expectations, but you know what? I think my brother's the same way. We just play. I think we both have our accomplishments, and my dad's obviously really proud of it. So it doesn't feel like that anymore. I don't think it's a shadow as much as just a name right now. So
right. Did it ever feel like that way? Like, oh man, Chris Chelios is my dad. You know people are expecting a lot out of me when I hit the ice.
Yeah, when I was younger, it was kind of like that. Like I had so much hockey left. I didn't even know if I'd make junior or college because I was small. I got cut from my high school team sophomore year.
Oh wow!
And I was 110 pounds or something or whatever. I couldn't even do the bench press test. So
sounds like me.
So at that point, I didn't know what I was gonna do. I was like, geez, I better start doing well in school because this isn't going anywhere. But then I ended up shooting up, and I was fortunate enough to get two really good coaches the next few years. Mm-hmm. And then luckily, Chicago Steel drafted me in junior, and then from there, I went to Michigan State, and things just started clicking. So it was a lot harder back then. Now, obviously, I mean, it's been fine. Obviously, nothing.
Right.
Hockey's been going smooth. I don't look at it like that anymore. So, no, I wouldn't say the shadow is really over.
Not at all. I can imagine when you probably first started playing, it was probably that pressure. But as you mature, I mean, kind of just eludes and go away.
Right. I mean, when you're 10 years old and you got people comparing to your dad saying he's not as good as his dad, well, I'm 10 years old.
Exactly. Like, exactly. What do you expect?
I'm trying to learn multiplication right now. So, right. As I grew older, I kind of know what kind of player I am and where I stand. And I don't compare myself to him. I'm trying to compare myself to other kids my age trying to make it.
Right. Now, I want to ask you, Jake, because, you know, I've heard other, you know, big-time athletes like, you know, Michael Jordan or Charles Barkley. The biggest thing they say is that, you know, with their kids, they never wanted to pressure, you know, just looking at Michael Jordan, he never wanted to pressure basketball on his sons. He wanted to, you know, just let them find their way. If they wanted to play, you know, he supported them. You know what I mean? If they wanted to play football, he supported them. How was your dad in that regard? I mean, was he the one that introduced you to the game of hockey? And, you know, did you just kind of just fall in love with it naturally? Or did your dad pressure you at all into it?
Well, I think it started with him not pressuring us, but I think he was so excited to have kids to bring to the rink every day when he was younger in his career. And so we were always running around the rink and skating, and eventually we just started to love it. Me and my brother, obviously so close in age, we're always competing and battling and on the ice. But we had a chance to skate right before all their practices, right after with all these pro players. So that's a dream. Like, you can't beat that.
Wow.
So that's a dream. You could do that every day.
Yeah.
But no, it was awesome. No pressure at all ever throughout our career. He actually did a really good job of that, being a parent and not really a hockey, a crazy hockey dad. So,
right.
I know one day when I was younger, when I wasn't doing so good, I wasn't playing at all on a team, and I said, I don't think I can play here. I'm not playing. I'm not having fun. And I thought he'd be mad or something, but he came home. He said, that's fine. We'll get you on a team where you'll play. And that's what happened. I ended up playing with all my school friends for a year and a half, and it was the best time of my life.
There you go. That's how you got to handle it right there. Mm-hmm. Now, growing up with you and your brother, like you said, you guys are very close in age. I can imagine you guys went at it, were very competitive. Who was the better player? Who is the better player, I should ask?
Well, kills me to say it, but when it comes to skill, him. He's okay. Always been better. His hands,
kills you to say that.
Yeah, I hate to admit it, but ever since we were younger, I was always kind of the idiot running around the ice hitting and stuff, and he's just smooth hands. Like, So now, I don't know, we're different positions now. When I came here, I switched from forward to D, and we're just two different players. He's all hands, and I'm kind of just slowed the game down. Just try to stay poised and calm back there on D.
Jake, before I let you go, when you look back at, you know, what your dad did in the game of hockey and you know, his career and now being inducted to the Hockey Hall of Fame, and you look back at footage of him, I mean, what goes through your head and, you know, what's the goal for you in the game of hockey?
Kind of what I've always done is just try to make to the next step. When I was playing in high school, I was just trying to get to junior hockey. When I was trying to play junior hockey, I was just trying to get to college. So, you know, I never looked at it too big of a picture, just because then it's just too hard to handle, you know, too many ups and downs. So right now I'm just trying to play, continue my career next year, whatever level it's going to be, whether it's American Hockey League or East Coast League or whatever it is. I just want to continue my career, and by doing that, I just got to have a good senior year.
There you go. And really quickly before I let you go, you guys, the next game you guys play is the 22nd against Western, I believe.
Western Michigan, yep.
Is that on the road? Is that home?
No, we're home Friday and away Saturday.
There you go. And when does the Big Ten season start exactly?
We play Minnesota right before Christmas.
There you go. Well, folks, get your tickets. Get your tickets. Hey, Jake, it's been a pleasure. Thanks a lot for joining me. Appreciate
it. Thanks a lot.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break. When we return to Current Sports, we will talk a little Pistons basketball. They topped the New York Knicks last night. We'll chat about it. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports will be right back.
On the next Fresh Air, Key and Peele, we talk with Keegan-Michael Key and Jordan Peele about their sketch comedy show on Comedy Central. Many of their sketches deal with race and draw on their experiences being biracial. Join us.
That's Fresh Air, coming up at 3 o'clock. Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Whoa, whew, what a day here on the show. We just talked to, we talked to Mateen Cleaves at the top of the hour. Again, his One Goal, One Passion charity event where he is trying to raise money for underprivileged families, 1,000 families, that is, 1,000 families. That's a lot of families trying to, the goal is $1,000 for 1,000 families. That's such a great initiative. And we just talked with Jake Chelios. He is the son of Chris Chelios, who was just inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame. Jake, of course, plays for the MSU hockey team, and along with his brother. Jake's such a great kid, and we wish them all well on as the season goes on. They play in 2 days against Western Michigan University. And, boy, what a day. Well, I'm joined by Alex and Matt to kind of dive into the Pistons game last night. The Pistons, of course, took on the Knicks, and it was a weird night because it's very rare when you have a night where – the Wings lose, seven straight at that, and the Pistons win. So I want to dive into that game, and I tell you what, Matt, just when, you know, yesterday, you know, I'm the biggest Rodney Stuckey hater you'll ever come in contact with, and the man goes off for, what, 21 last night, I think it was? Pretty good stat line for him last night. But it's against the Knickerbockers. Come on, man.
I mean, a blind squirrel finds a nut.
I tweeted that last night. Exactly. You know,
I don't know what to make of it. The Knicks are in a sorry state right now. Ever since Tyson Chandler went down, I mean, they're relying on Amari Stoudemire and his one leg, basically, and Kenyon Martin. for big-time front court minutes, and it's hurting them. I mean, every one of the Pistons' big three in the front court had a good game. I mean, Josh Smith wasn't shooting terribly well, but he was still effective. I think he had finished with, 19 or something?
Smith, he was taking him inside out, so he had a few nice three-pointers. I mean, he had some nice drives, getting some rebounds here and there. He had a decent game.
Yeah, and then double-doubles from Drummond and Monroe.
Right.
And when you can beat teams up inside like the Pistons can with those three, anything you get from your backcourt is gravy. And if you're getting 15 points from Rodney Stuckey in the second half, it's going to be tough to lose because that doesn't happen often, unless he's doing it in garbage time and the game's already over.
And I tell you what, looking at that game, and like I said, Stuckey, I mean, he shoots so much that every once in a while you're gonna start hitting. And that was one of those nights. I mean, he was typical Stuckey where he takes a lot of shots, you know, driving, shooting. It fell for him last night, though. You know, that's the game of basketball. You have nights like that. Stuckey has to, if he's going to, you know, because I'm sitting there, you know, reading this story, and I'm seeing reports from, I think I was reading MLive, and I think on, I forget what other publication it was, and, you know, Stuckey making his bid for sixth man of the year. I'm like, whoa. Let's hold our horses here. Stuckey had a great game, 21 points last night. He was great. Don't get me wrong, he was great. But he's playing the Knicks, and Stuckey's inconsistent. We all know that. So I'm sitting like, hold your horses. Whoever thinks that Stuckey's got a chance to win a sixth man of the year, come on, man. That's all I want to say.
Call us in February.
Exactly. Call us in February when it matters. You know what I mean? Hey, call us later on this week. Who do they have later on this week? Call us later on this week and make a bid for them. But overall, though, I think the Pistons, and like Mateen said, I think right now the biggest weakness for them, and we talked about it yesterday, is their defense. They allow way too many points in the paint. Way too many points in the paint. I mean, we saw last night, really, Carmelo Anthony, I mean, he turned, you know, he really struggled at the beginning of the game. And as the game went on, he started to realize that, man, there's a weakness inside that paint area. And he started backing down everyone who was guarding him. He got a lot of, you know, ticky-tacky fouls. You know, he went to the line, shot free throws. But most of his points came from inside. His shooting percentage was, I can't remember what it was, but he wasn't shooting that much. A lot of those shots came from inside. And it really baffles me because you have Drummond and you have Monroe and even Smith to a degree down there. You would think that, you know, having the quote-unquote Twin Towers, the baby Twin Towers is what I call them down there, they would be a decent defensive team on the inside. But they allow way too many points on the inside and in the paint, and that baffles me. I don't know.
Yeah, but let me just say this. You look at the defensive team with Ben Wallace, even our boy Chucky Atkins, back in 03.
Wow, Chucky Atkins. I forgot about Chucky.
Ben Wallace right to Chucky Atkins. I love it, Alex.
I forgot about Chucky. He was my man.
But if you look at those 3 to 4 years, even Memo Okur.
Oh, wow. You're bringing up some you're going back.
Some great defensive teams, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, is this defensive team right now compared to that one? Absolutely not.
No,
but,
close.
But I think the pieces are starting to get in place that had very similar qualities that team had back in 02, 03. For example, Ben Wallace was obviously the big rebounder. Now we see Andre Drummond double-double every game. He's starting to get a lot of defensive rebounds. How about on the small four? Who's going to be as good of a defender as Tayshaun was against every star player? Well, look who's been playing a lot and who's been guarding the key defenders. I mean, we've seen a lot of guys, Singler, Jarebko get in there. We've seen a lot of rotations going around.
I like Singler a lot. I've always liked Singler.
Yeah, so, I mean, can Singler or Jarebko, can they handle a decent Carmelo every night? I don't know yet. But I think pieces are starting to come in place. I'm very excited to see what happens in February when Ronnie Stuckey might still be sixth man.
Yeah, Stuckey.
The year, but yeah. Those are my thoughts initially on the Pistons right now.
Yeah, I think right now if any core group that has to get better on this Piston team, I got to see more consistent play from the guards right now. Jennings, I think he's a talent. Jennings can score. He's shown that, you know, so far this season that he can get hot when you need him to. He can take you inside. He can take you outside. He even plays a little defense. It was interesting because you know the story with J.R. Smith and Jennings, where Jennings called out J.R.'s brother, who now plays in the D-League. I guess, he made the right call on that. But anyway, it was a moment in that game last night where Jennings and J.R., you know, Jennings was guarding J.R. Smith on the baseline, on the left baseline, and J.R. goes up. Well, he tries to give him a fake move. Jennings doesn't bite on it. And J.R. goes up for a three-pointer, And great defense by Jennings. He knocks it out of his hand. Pistons basketball. It was great. It was a weird moment because you're sitting there like, wow, this is the Twitter world right here. And it was great defense by Jennings. But Jennings has those moments where he can play great defense. Can he lock down a guard, like a Chris Paul? Well, no one can lock down a Chris Paul. But can he lock down or contain to a degree an average guard in the NBA? That's the challenge that I have for the guards. Can they play defense, and can we get some consistent scoring from them? I don't know. That's still to be seen.
See, and that's the thing. Like you said, he has moments.
Yeah, he has moments.
He has moments where he plays good D.
Right.
But for the other 30 minutes of the game, you know, he's just a turnstile. You know,
exactly.
And you got to flip that switch, and it has to be the other way around, where maybe you have a few lapses here and there, but for the most part, you're a solid defender. He's not big enough to coast on his athleticism.
Right.
You know, he's going to get overpowered by, I'd say, 75% of the NBA's
without
guards.
A doubt. He's not that big. Yeah,
he's slight. He's got a slight frame, so he's got to rely on his quickness. And if you're that small, you've got to be hyperactive almost to be a quality defender. And he just has these lapses for entire quarters, for entire halves, for games, where he just doesn't play any defense. I mean,
right. And that was a staple. I mean, you talk about 2004, Alex. I mean, you talk about the premier guard for the Pistons with Chauncey Billups, who is now on the Pistons team. But Chauncey played D.
Right.
And he's a big body. Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
And, you know, I think the worst defender on that team would be Rip Hamilton. But you also, you know, he's still 6'7 and lanky. And then you have Tayshaun on the other wing to lock down the opposing team's best wing player.
Yeah.
Then you have Rasheed Wallace. A 6'11 giant.
He was a great defensive guy, too.
And incredibly smart.
I think Rasheed could have been one of the top five forwards in the game if he just had the right mentality to do so. I would look at Rasheed sometimes and say, this guy is unguardable. He had that high arcing shot. That's another subject.
Limitless range. But the big thing with that team was Ben Wallace.
Oh, yeah. He was
and
a hard
when you
soul.
Have a center like that who is that, you know, that rim protector, and not just a rim protector, but he organizes the defense as that final line. Andre Drummond isn't there yet.
No, not yet.
The kid's, 21 years old, if that?
Yeah, he's still young.
He's got a lot of time to develop.
He had a very good game last night.
Right, but as far as being that anchor defensively, I mean, it took Roy Hibbert a few years to get there, and now look at where Indiana's at.
Yeah.
So it's going to take some time for him to be that guy, but I think maybe when that transformation takes place, then the Pistons can maybe ascend another level. But, you know, as the season's going, hey, they're going to be better than the Knicks. The Knicks look terrible.
Yeah, the Knicks look so bad. And, you know, you had Melo with the comments earlier this week talking about, you know, he's questioning the team's effort. Anytime you're questioning the team's effort, that's just bad. You know what I mean? The whole mesh of that team right now is depleted. And I don't think the Knicks, dare I say it, I don't know if they can make the playoffs.
I mean, I don't either. I mean, honestly, on that team do you have to guard?
Exactly.
Carmelo.
Other than Carmelo, that's it. That is it, man. You know, Stoudemire is
healthy. JR to an extent.
JR from time to time until he implodes.
Yeah, he's not a – JR is an inconsistent scorer. You know, his shooting – he shoots – he's like a Stuckey almost. He shoots so many times throughout the course of a game. And, you know, he has those moments where he can go like 0-for-11 on some stints. You know what I mean? JR, other than him, you know, Stoudemire, I would say if Stoudemire was healthy – but Stoudemire, you never know. I mean, he's
never going to be that guy again.
Yeah,
he's never going to be that guy.
Exactly.
But see, if you follow Brandon Jennings 2 years ago, he was exactly the same. 20, 30 shots a game, one of the lowest field goal percentages in the NBA. He's getting better now as a Piston, which is great. But
that shows that's not the formula to win. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you can't have it. You know, that's definitely not the formula. If you got your guard shooting that many times.
Now, I don't want to get into an argument because we only got 2 minutes left. But
oh, wow. Yeah.
Maybe we could say this for,
we had a packed show.
Wednesday. Yeah.
Yeah.
maybe for the next Barbershop Wednesday. But can someone like Jennings, is it either A, anyone who can shoot can score, or do you have to be a certain type of player to produce a lot of points in the NBA? Do you see what I'm saying here? So can anybody who shoots 20 or 30 shots a game that's decent like Jennings put up the numbers that he does, or is there some intangible there that you need to put up those numbers? Is it not just does Brandon Jennings have something that most guards don't have? Because I don't know. I think he's a prototypical guard to me.
I think he's a scorer. I've you know, watching this season so far. I mean, there was a moment in the game before the Knicks. I'm blanking. Who they played?
See, I would argue he's shooting 20, 30 shots a game. Of course, he's
the Laker game. The Laker game. I mean, he hit 4 threes in a row to bring the Pistons in some sort of relevancy to try to, you know, contest in that game. I mean, it was unbelievable. And a game before that, I believe, was the Blazers, where he went off and scored five straight buckets just like that when no one else was scoring. You know, he was being a distributor most of the game.
Yeah, but
he's buying in, to a degree.
Now, for me, Singler's a scorer. 50%, 33% three-point.
He's a shooter.
But, yeah, Singler's a shooter, yeah. Jennings can shoot. He can take it inside, outside. I mean, he's a dynamic guard, but... All right, well, before we leave, special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. Production assistants Alex Sharg and Matt Lucky, engineer Aaron Young, Peter Worf, our station manager here at WKAR. Thanks to my team, Cleaves and Jake Chelios, for joining me today. You can listen to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. As always, take care. Have a fantastic day. Current Sports TV tonight. Sign up on WKAR.org. TJ Duckett. Be easy, people.